You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Right there, folks, puts into sharp focus what Christmas is all about. And welcome, my friends and family, to the Political Cesspool Radio's program's live broadcast for Saturday night, December 21st, our last show before Christmas, that sacred and blessed day during which we celebrate the birth of the Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us and making our broadcast part of your Christmas cheer this very, very special week. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in studio tonight. What we're going to be covering for the first 2 hours is a collection of the latest examples on the war against Christmas. And we're going to temper that with some of those classic carols and songs that really mark this time of year. Welcome again, one and all. So, Keith, we covered, I'm just going to quickly retread a story that we wrapped up with in the third hour of last week's show. Get a quick take on that from you, and then we're going to move into all new content and material this evening. Fox News hostess Megyn Kelly was attacked for suggesting that Santa Claus was white, or the legend of Santa Claus was based off of a white historical figure. Of course, that was denounced as virulent racism. And above and beyond that, after her racism was discarded for suggesting that Santa Claus was white, black malcontents said, we need to move away from the figure of Santa Claus at all and have an animal such as a penguin represent Christmas, because, you know, it's racist again to have the image of a white Santa Claus. It excludes black children that Santa Claus be pictured as a white man. And I think you and I both came to the same conclusion. You know, it's good enough for minorities that white people play Santa Claus the other 364 days of the year, where we're delivering welfare and set-asides and other benefits that are taken out of our taxes and delivered to them every other day of the year. Why can't we be Santa Claus on Christmas as well?
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that idea. I think they basically need to rename Santa Claus Honky Claus, because we honkies are continually providing gifts, undeserved gifts, to non-white people throughout the world, and particularly here in America. So the idea of a beneficent white person coming into their homes and giving them whatever their hearts desire is just really a parable for the reality that we live with here in America 365 days a year. I agree totally, James.
And of course, there were some local black commentators here in Memphis saying, don't be fooled, black children. The white man ain't ever going to give you anything on Christmas or otherwise. And that's what actually got us to thinking, you know what? Not only is he wrong, he's wrong 365 times over, because that is exactly what we do. Tax-paying, blue-collar white Americans, and of course the elites as well. I mean, they get taxed too. Yeah, that's exactly what happens every day, and it's never enough, and it never will be enough. And when's the last time a non-white organization did something for our people? You know, it's our churches, it's our civic clubs, our optimist clubs, our youth groups, so on and so forth, that are always reaching out to do good deeds in the ghetto. And again, that's not bad. I think that charity begins at home, and as the Greeks say, and we fall back on this a lot, All things in moderation, nothing in excess, even a virtue, such as benevolence, when carried to a radical extreme, can be a detriment to you and to your family. But when is the last time anything at all was bestowed upon exclusively white children by exclusively non-white practitioners of goodwill?
I can't think of any black charities that focus primarily on white people and as their objects of charity. As Winston Smith has said on this show many times, at any moment of any day or night, any time in the world, anywhere in the world, there is somebody, some group of white people wringing their hands, gnashing their teeth, rending their garments, tortured, thinking about what they can do to make life better for non-white people, primarily black people. And he said, just as assuredly as you can depend on that happening at any hour of the day or night, somewhere in the world, you can also be equally assured that somewhere in the world there is no group of black people, no group of non-white people that is similarly wringing their hands, rending their garments, gnashing their teeth, worried about what they can do to make life better or easier for white people. So we need to understand charity is a one-way street. Charity may begin at home, but it doesn't begin in anyone's home who isn't white. The only charity that black people are interested in is charity that exclusively benefits their own kind. Likewise for Jews, likewise for Hispanics, likewise for Orientals, likewise for Middle Easterners. We need to understand we're alone in the world. And basically, if we don't have control of the government, of our own nations, we're in for some tough sledding, folks. No pun intended here during the Christmas season.
Well, the fact of the matter remains, if and when, and it looks as though the current trajectory will suggest that whites will become a minority here in America within the next few decades, all of the goodies that are set aside for the minorities now will cease to exist when we dip below that 50% threshold. And look, Christmas is a season, first of all, where we reflect on Jesus Christ and the gift he is to all of mankind and to all the races of humanity. But it is a season of goodwill and hope and all of that stuff. But again, this radical and pathological altruism where you can only do good, or it can only be considered good if you do it to people with whom don't share necessarily the same culture, I think that's something that should be examined. Your friends and family deserve it most, folks. That being said, we are very happy to have the family that we have in our listening audience. I've got a stack of Christmas cards that have come in over the course of the last week. We've really just experienced a flurry of both contributions, by the way. We're getting closer to reaching our goal for the fourth quarter, which will, of course, help this network and certainly our show as well. But the Christmas cards, I got a stack of Christmas cards I'm going to be sharing with Keith Alexander that have come in from all over the world. I got an email this week from a gentleman in Sweden. They've started a radio show in Sweden that was inspired by the political cesspool. So I guess it would be a satellite type of operation, if you will. And they are averaging, I think, 5,000 downloads per week. And give us the credit for that. And so I want to say Merry Christmas to Jonas in Sweden and to his crew. Thank you for drawing inspiration from us. And let us know how we can work together. That an email that came in from Sweden this week. We'll talk more when we come back, folks. Stay tuned. Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks, but it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
See what I see?
A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
Such beautiful and uplifting music, folks. Merry Christmas to you, one and all, from our staff here in Memphis and in Utah, the political cesspool, from our family to yours. Merry Christmas. Sam Bushman, in addition to being the owner of the network, he most oftentimes is the producer of our live show from the network offices in Utah, and he is also doubling as DJ this evening, serving up these great selections of music. And Sam has no idea how the two songs he selected to play first this evening, that Do You Hear What I Hear, and then at the top of the show, Mary, Did You Know, he didn't know and couldn't have known how those two songs have a common theme, and that would be when I was a teenager, I was in the church choir, so I was a textbook choir boy, and I was supposed to have sang Do You Hear What I Hear, but I didn't have the right pitch for it, and so I got shuffled into Mary, Did You Know. So the two songs Sam has played tonight thus far were what has special meaning to me, and struck out on Do You Hear What I Hear, which is actually my favorite all time. Two of my favorite songs. Do You Hear What I Hear, probably my favorite in that version by Johnny Mathis in particular. But I struck out on that one, but was able to solo with Mary, Did You Know. I think it was about, 17 or 18. My mom was in the choir too. Those were good years. I did. Oh, well, that was a long time ago. I don't know if we'll get an encore performance tonight, but it's a long show. We'll see. Might have to sanitize myself from some of the stories that we're going to be bringing to your attention as the war on Christmas escalates. It reaches a fever pitch here the last few days before Christmas. The United States Air Force has joined in the war against Christmas. And it doesn't matter how many Christians there are in the Air Force, because if a nativity scenes offend just one malcontent, that's all that really matters. This is a story from Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina. Officials there are trying to determine what to do about a holiday display. Of course, it's not a Christmas display. After a nativity scene was taken down last week, Air Force spokeswoman Lieutenant Kevi Rake said last Tuesday that a nativity display was set up Friday by a group of volunteers from the base chapel, only to have the Military Religious Freedom Foundation come in and lodge a complaint about the display through the Air Force in Washington. Paul Loeb is the spokesman for the Military Religious Freedom Association. He said that the nativity scene was in direct violation of the Constitution. It's a clear and direct violation of the United States Constitution, as well as a blatant violation of Air Force instruction. Within 2 hours and 15 minutes of being contacted by the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, the nativity scene was promptly removed, and Loeb was very excited about that. He wanted to congratulate the Air Force on acting so swiftly to reverse this egregious violation, and hopes in the future that they will ensure that no such blatant violations continue to occur. So basically, I'll break it down for you and then let Keith fill in the blanks. As any decent organization or person would do it this time of year, the Air Force there in South Carolina, the base, put up a nativity scene. An outside group headed by a gentleman by the name of Paul Loeb complains about it, and within 2 hours the Air Force falls on its sword and removes it. I mean, that literally meant that they had to run out there as soon as the phone rang and remove it for fear of you know what, Keith, and I'm gonna let you tell the audience exactly what that is, but you know, Paul Loeb, though, has been curiously silent, however, about the Jewish menorahs that grace the White House lawn and other such places. You know, they have a menorah on the White House lawn in recent years that was so big a crane had to put it together. I don't hear Paul Loeb complaining about that, and I wonder, Keith, why that is.
Because we live in Jewish-occupied America. It's that simple. Jews make up 1.7% of the U.S. population, but they have turned America into Israel West. We are a satellite of the Israeli nation, basically, and we're run by a small Jewish elite that is actively hostile to the religion of the vast majority of the American people and the founding stock of America, which are white Christian Gentiles. Why do we let these people continue to rule us, to ride roughshod over our religious rights? The idea that having a nativity scene displayed on public property or on a military base is against the principles of the U.S. Constitution is absurd. Tell that to Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, or any of the authors of the U.S. Constitution, and they would have been incredulous. This is the most absurd thing that you can imagine. Basically, Jews are gaming you and scamming you when they tell you that they respect the U.S. Constitution. They have no respect for the U.S. Constitution whatsoever. They are looking forward to the day when it can be ignored altogether, because none of the founding fathers who wrote the U.S. Constitution were Jews. They were all Gentiles. In fact, they were all white Christian Gentiles. And that's the worst type. Don't believe me. Asked Paul Loeb and his cohort. Paul Loeb, of course, the leader of this anti-Christian group, is Jewish. You know, every time you look behind the veil, you'll find a Jew. All of this war on Christmas is being headed up by the same group of people. It's not Muslims that are trying to take down the nativity scenes. It's not Hindus. It's not Zoroastrians. It's not any group except Jews. And this doesn't mean that they're religious Jews. Atheistic Jews are still considered Jews, are still welcome to emigrate to the Israeli nation. In fact, the red carpet is rolled out for them. So you need to understand who the enemy is. The enemy is Jews. The people driving all this are Jews. If they, there are groups like, they have something called Act Memphis, that every month has some anti-Muslim campaign going on. This is a red herring, people. They're trying to get your zeal and misdirect it. We need to understand clearly who the enemy of traditional American culture is. And it's not Muslims, it's not Buddhists, it's not Hindus, it's not Eskimos, it's Jews. That is the answer, pure and simple.
And, you know, it's not even white liberals. It is almost exclusively, when you have instances like this manifest themselves, that is the common denominator. Now, do we hate Jews? Do we want to see Jews discriminated against or mistreated? Absolutely not, but we feel as though, and certainly we have Jewish listeners, and there are Jewish contributors to this show, and we welcome them and wish there were more like them that held the conservative point of views as we do. And we'd be happy to work with them. But the fact of the matter remains, folks, and I always have to put that little disclaimer in because, you know, the ADL is just salivating to take something out of context here. But that is something that needs to be exposed and talked about. And the fact that an anti-Christian, a vehemently and venomously anti-Christian group has so much power in the media, in the government, it would make you believe that all of America is with them. Well, no, not all of America. The vast majority of Americans still think and feel and believe the way we do, but almost 100% of the media is in the tank and owned and operated and controlled by these people. And if you don't believe it, if you don't believe me, take their word for it. It would be anti-Semitic for James Edwards to say Jews control the media, but Jews admit it, and I agree with them. So there's that. We're going to take a call when we come back and get into another story.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Good work by our production team there. Keith Alexander had a somewhat obscure request for an English sung version of The Holly and the Ivy and an old English Christmas carol. And he ordered it up and it was delivered within a moment's notice there by our crack team. The Holly and the Ivy there. More Christmas carols being enjoyed tonight here on the Political Cesspool radio program as we contrast that to the war against Christmas that is waging everywhere else in the mainstream media except for here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Being waged against us by the usual suspects, some things don't change over the course of 2,000 plus years. Let's quickly go to Chris in Alaska. And we got to get to another story on the war against Christmas, one that Sean Hannity actually commented on. Chris, what can we do for you tonight?
Well, James, first of all, Merry Christmas to you and the rest of the Political Cesspool staff.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I wanted to tie a couple things together. Last week's show was excellent, and then, of course, there were some pretty big items in the news this week that just go to prove that we're right again. The lady who fired Phil Robertson from A&E is a Jew.
Yes.
Just so y'all know.
And that would be, just in case someone doesn't know, Phil Robertson is the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty family on A&E, and we are going to talk about that extensively before the time runs out tonight. I had planned to dedicate most of the third hour to that, although we'll give Keith a chance to talk about it in advance. But yes, for all those who may be expecting us to comment on the Duck Dynasty kerfuffle, don't worry. We're loaded, and we're going to unload before it's all said and done this evening. But continue on, Chris.
And for those of you who are listening to the show, you get it. I don't need to tell you. But this is an opportunity for you to tell your friends and family who don't get it that they will never let you in peace. They will never leave you alone. There was something come out recently that the chief of staff of the Air Force was talking about diversity and how important that was and how and the Obama administration just named a little teeny tiny black woman who's maybe 5 feet 6 inches tall to be the number two person in the Navy.
Right.
Not one, I looked this up, you can too, not one black nation has a functioning Navy or a functioning Air Force. Not one. Norway, all by itself, has more Naval and Air Force power than every sub-Saharan African nation put together.
Yep.
Folks.
Yep. Hey, you look, facts are facts. And this is what's so damnable, Chris, is that, you know, these are great points that should be brought out and should be discussed one way or the other, agree or disagree. Let's put it all out on the table. But this is suppressed, and you know, they cry about tolerance. Well, there is no tolerance for conservative Christians, particularly conservative white Christian males, if you really want to get down to it. You know, the reason Phil Robertson is under attack is because he's a white Christian male Southerner and a heterosexual. I mean, that really just covers all of the things, and there can be no tolerance for his point of view. He said nothing offensive whatsoever. He just said, as a Christian, and he quoted scripture, homosexual is immoral and it's wrong and it's sinful. He didn't say he hated them and that he wished they would die and that they should be swept under the bus or anything like that. He basically just refused to endorse it. And because he refused to endorse it, well, they've lost their empire, at least for the moment. And again, I'm going to set the table for that story later. I didn't really want to get into it yet, but it is such a big story and it's bubbling right under the surface.
Right. And I wanted to add one more thing. Y'all talked about Nelson Mandela and some problems that were in Nashville. Getting many qualified folks in Memphis, and that Nashville had no problem getting
right
qualified folks. I want to comment on that real quick. The reason Memphis has a problem is that Memphis is full of in the old days, the black folks that worked for your granddad, they had a couple things that black folks today don't have. They had a wife, and a job and a family.
You know, it's funny.
Because they lived under the old-fashioned system that took into account black folks' native abilities and treated them right, but took into account those realities. And the first and biggest beneficiary of any contact of white Christian civilization has with any minority group is the ablest and best people in that minority group. That is a fact. The best black folks, those that got the gospel message of Jesus Christ and were able to moderate their bad behavior, benefited immensely from contact with Christian civilization.
That's another thing, incidentally, Chris, another thing that Phil Robertson commented on in the wake of his so-called anti-gay comments was that, you know, blacks were better off and happier in Jim Crow era South than what they are now. And of course that they're just using that to skewer him as well. But, you know, when I read his comments later in the show, it makes perfect sense and that he's spot on. And he thinks the way he speaks the way most rational people think. But Chris, we got to move on. I want to thank you for calling in and bringing up those points because it prompted me to remind the audience that that is forthcoming in tonight's broadcast. And we appreciate you listening. I know Keith wants to make a comment as well.
Thank you, Chris, for commenting on that. We did discuss the fact that there were two highly sophisticated plants, manufacturing plants, one by Mitsubishi, the other by Electrolux, that were lured to Memphis with all manner of tax breaks to provide jobs for Memphians, primarily black Memphians, because we have a black administration that's very concerned about getting manufacturing jobs here for the black population in Memphis. But that the black population in Memphis wasn't able to staff these plants fully because of a lack of skills. It's not that people, black people, were more capable back in the 1950s. They were better behaved. They did have a much lower rate of illegitimacy than they have today. They did not have the rampant criminality they have today, even though black crime rates back in 1950 still far exceeded white crime rates. But the problem today is that our globalist elites have shipped most of the manufacturing jobs in America overseas, where they could get cheaper labor. The primary losers were people on the left-hand side of the bell curve for the entire population of the United States. In other words, the lower 50%. A lot of people on the left-hand side of the bell curve can't get or can't attain a middle-class lifestyle or wage without having a manufacturing sector job. What manufacturing sector jobs that are left in the 21st century tend to be ones that require a great deal of technical skill, facility with robotics, for example. The typical people on the left-hand side of the bell curve are not going to be candidates for those jobs. That's what they are finding, and that was the lesson we were trying to impart from the misfortunes of Electrolux and Mitsubishi here in the Memphis area. As Grandma used to say, you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. And until people come to terms with the issue of race and that there are racial differences between groups of people, that the races are not, like soybeans, interchangeable, fungible, they are different. They have different skill sets, different talents, different ways, different tastes. Until you come to terms with race as a determinant in human behavior, you're going to be blindsided just like the executives at Electrolux and Mitsubishi were, Jay.
Jared Taylor, you know, my good friend, summed it up best when he said the history of race relations can be summed up in a single word, and that word is conflict. And that's not to say, and certainly we wouldn't suggest, that one race is better than another overall. I mean, certainly if you look at technological advancements bestowed upon civilization, it's an undeniable and incontrovertible fact they have come from whites almost exclusively. But that's, again, not to say that our lives are necessarily worth more than another, or that we would say that over the air. But at the same time, you put people with different cultures and different beliefs and different traditions together, and it's just going to breed conflict. Chris, if you're still there, a final word on that.
Yes, sir. Well, you're all completely correct, but one major problem that the old system that Phil Robertson rightly lauded in one respect, and that is when those white Christian norms were the norm in the black community, a lot of things were better for those people. They were able to reach their fullest potential and have a better life.
That's it. Listen, I couldn't agree more, and I wish I was born in the 50s so I could have lived in a better day and age. I wish America could look like that again. That's what we're fighting for. It may never happen, but that's the goal, that's the vision. When we come back, folks, we're going to go back and revisit more instances in the war against Christmas, and then we're going to...
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Maria Grazia.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio program before Christmas Day, which will be on Wednesday, and we wish you could all be in our homes with us that day. You are part of our family. The war on Christmas, though, is raging right now, and we're standing on the front lines of it in defense of the faith of our fathers. Keith, we talked a couple of segments ago about how a group led by a gentleman by the name of Paul Loeb successfully made the United States Air Force cow with a single complaint. The Air Force capitulated to Loeb and his minions. A Jewish-run atheist group has once again put up an anti-Christian billboard in Times Square. Last year, they had one with Christ and Santa Claus, and Christ was marked out saying, keep the myth, and we'll still celebrate Santa or something, to the insinuating Christ was the myth and Santa was what it was all about. But this year, they've done it again. American Atheists is an organization run by a gentleman named David Silverman. Silverman and Loeb, as surnames, have something in common. It's shocking, I know. Sean Hannity squared off against Silverman this week in a recent debate on Fox News, but conveniently failed to mention the elephant in the room. I'm going to read the story quickly. And he always does, of course, Hannity. It took less than a minute for things to get heated on Sean Hannity's War on Christmas segment Friday night. This would have been last Friday, after American Atheist President David Silverman said Christmas is better without the religion. The point we're trying to make is that there's a whole bunch of people out there for who religion is the worst part of Christmas, but they go to church anyway, and we're here to tell them they don't have to, Silverman told Hannity and Fox News radio host Todd Starnes. Hannity went off the rails at that point, telling Silverman he was, quote, full of crap for denying that his group didn't operate simply to offend people. Would you put a billboard up that said, take Muhammad out of Ramadan and a cross out Muhammad's name, Hannity asked, referring to Silverman's group's Times Square billboard that crosses out the name of Christ from the word Christmas and reads, who needs Christ at Christmas? Then the discussion turned to a story that we covered earlier in this very show. The Pentagon's order to remove the nativity scene at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina. Hannity explained, let me tell you this, not one complaint was registered on that military base, not one. So you have Paul Loeb leading a group that successfully makes the Air Force remove a nativity scene. Here you have David Silverman, whose group has put up this obviously expensive billboard in the middle of Times Square, New York, which reads, who needs Christ during Christmas? And the word Christ is X'd out in black. Again, and for men like Silverman and Loeb, Keith, we said it early in the program, their hatred of Christ is pathological and is one thing that hasn't changed in 2,000 years.
That's right. Jews were the first and the most consistent and the most obdurate enemies of Christianity from the inception of the Christian religion up to the present day. They take a backseat to nobody. Hannity is just a typical minion of Jewish power and influence. He fulminates against the war on Christmas, but he refuses to name and shame the people that are the primary instigators of the war against Christmas. As far as I'm concerned, it's no coincidence that Hannity rhymes with insanity. Sean Hannity is part of the problem. He's there with a Jewish anti-Christian leader, and he mentions Muhammad and Muslims, but he never mentions any type of, for example, the menorah on the lawn of the White House, which, you know, has apparently replaced the nativity scene that used to be there in prior years. Why is he such a craven coward that he won't mention Jewish power and influence's role, or even suggest there is a Jewish role in this anti-Christian war against Christmas? The man is a shill. Just like most mainstream conservatives, these people are phonies. These people are stalking horses. You need to tune them out, and you need to tune into the political cesspool. You need to get in touch with Kevin McDonald's Occidental Observer. you need to know what is driving liberalism. Liberalism is the strategy, but the people behind the strategy, financing the strategy, financing the initiative, and the people that have the anti-white Gentile animus that seems to be governing all of Western civilization and culture today is Jewish. And that's the long and the short of it.
And again, it's not to say that all Jews are on board with that. Most of them are. The vast majority of them are. But all of them, with any power and influence in the media, are in the tank 100% with the anti-white, anti-Christian agenda. And that is just a fact. And that's the way it is. Now, I agree with Hannity on this, but he doesn't tell the whole truth. I agree with him that we should oppose American atheists. And I agree that we should make a mockery out of people like David Silverman. But he's not giving people the whole truth. He'll say, well, liberals are against Christ and Christmas. It's true, they are liberal, but that's not all that they are. And in the very next segment, I didn't watch this particular show, but it wouldn't have surprised me at all that in the very next segment, after he got finished combating David Silverman, he went into a monologue about how Christians should support Israel at this time of year, and that we need to stand with God's chosen people, and so on and so forth. And so, yada, 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 right. Well, here's another one, Keith, just in time for Christmas. Tim Wise has called, Tim Wise is another son of Israel. Yes, he is. He is Jewish, at least on his mother's side, which is what they go by when determining ethnicity. He has called Jesus Christ a symbol of white supremacy and genocide. So now Jesus Christ himself is a white supremacist and a symbol of genocide. You are a racist if you believe that Santa Claus is white or should be white or is white as far as the story is told. Now, Jesus Christ himself, a symbol of white supremacy, according to the Jewish Tim Wise. CNN features this guy on a very regular basis. Last year, he called on his followers to murder members of the Tea Party. Tim Wise, who is Jewish, says that Jesus Christ, Christ is a symbol of white supremacy and genocide. He stated on CNN, and we're not going to play the clip, but if you want to watch it for yourself, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, access our blog, and find the entry a couple of days ago that features Tim Wise. He stated on CNN last week, the image of a white Jesus has been used to justify enslavement, conquest, colonialism, the genocide of indigenous people. There are literally millions of human beings whose lives have been snuffed out by people who conquered under the banner of the white God. Now, of course, Keith, he makes no mention about the lives snuffed out by abortion, nor does he mention the tens of millions of lives of white Christians whose lives were snuffed out by his cousins, the Jewish Bolsheviks, in early 20th century Russia. Tim Wise is an extreme left-wing cultural Marxist. He lives in the all-white, ritzy suburb in Nashville, one of America's whitest metro areas. He constantly spews venom like this against white people. And he continues to make millions of dollars. He is constantly featured on the speaking circuit and by organizations like CNN, who would not allow me to reappear after a string of appearances on Paula Zahn. And if anybody ever watched those shows, tell me if I ever said anything that rivals something as ludicrous and as reprehensible as this. Jesus Christ, according to Tim Wise, this passes for acceptable commentary, Keith, in the mainstream media, which is, of course, all owned and operated by Mr. Wise's kinsman. But Jesus Christ now himself, a white supremacist and a symbol of genocide.
Yep. It's always the same. Nothing, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It was the same when Caiaphas was the head of the Jewish opposition to Jesus Christ, who basically pressured Pontius Pilate into putting him to death, the Roman governor, with threats of revolt. And today, it's Tim Wise. You know, when I hear the name, I hear klezmer clarinet music playing in the background. It's the same group of people, the same troublemakers, the same chronic malcontents. And why we put up with being dominated by a group that is 1.7% of the population is beyond me. That's exactly what Jews are in America today, 1.7% of the population, and they have such disproportionate power. They have the other, they have 90% of the population utterly cowed. They, You know, white Gentiles are about 64% of the population now. But you can't find anyone, any political leader, anybody in the mainstream media who is a white Gentile who's willing to take them on, willing to tell the emperor that he has no clothes, except for moi, us, here at the Political Cesspool.
And I'll tell you, Keith, a final comment before the end of this hour. People won't do it. They are cowed because they would rather die than be falsely labeled as an anti-Semite or a racist. I don't have a problem with Jewish people because of the fact that they're Jews. I have a problem with what they believe and how they use their power and influence to dispossess my family and my faith. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Radio Network.